Hello and welcome to Socially Savvy's Whining with Brian Carter. We hope you enjoy the interviews.
Hello and welcome to Socially Savvy. I'm your host, LB Duchess, and I have the pleasure of sitting here with owner and winemaker Brian Carter. How are you doing today?
Good, LB. I'm just great. Beautiful day out there.
Thank you so much for inviting us out here. It is gorgeous. We came out on Mother's Day, which I appreciate you taking time. I see a ton of your very happy wine club members here enjoying the day as well. It is beautiful, sunny. You have a fantastic view from this tasting room here in Woodinville. So thank you so much for taking time for us today.
You bet. Well, we're kind of right here in ground zero in the Woodinville wine country, and Woodinville just keeps getting to be a bigger and more exciting place to be all the time, and on a day like this, you just can't beat it.
I would definitely agree. So tell us a little bit about this tasting room. You are, like you said, right here in the heart of downtown Woodinville. You have beautiful views, a great outside deck. Tell us a little bit about all of it.
Yeah, we're actually on the fringe of the south part of the downtown part, but we're actually kind of on the southern edge of the town of Woodinville. But it's a beautiful rural view. On an even nicer day than this, you can see Mount Rainier off of our deck here to the south. But right now, it's just a nice rural feel to it. You can see the down to the south, the Burt Gilman Trail going off, and the bicycles going by, and it's a great day to be out, especially if you're a mother.
Oh, most definitely, and for those young men who can take their mother's wine tasting, not a bad place to stop.
There you go. I wish I'd been able to take my mother out wine tasting when I was a young man.
So you've got a two-room tasting room. About how many people does this hold?
Yeah, we actually have a club event going on right now in the upper part, which is kind of more of our private area. And then we have a lower part, which is open to the general public. And so we have these four times a year, these wine release parties, which actually straddle a couple of weekends. And we have people come in, and there's some food, and they get to taste the new releases, and plus a couple of wines, and we've got a little wine on special, and so lots of different activities going on.
I love it. And then you've got this big roomy deck. It looks like you could literally throw a party. You've got a fenced-in area with grass, so people could come in, they could picnic. It's a fabulous space.
We do have parties out there, as a matter of fact. It's a great place for one. And it looks like there's a bit of a party going on out there right now. And we've got people drinking our rosé wine, which is always great when the sun's shining.
I love it. And now one other fabulous fact about your tasting room is you are one of few who has great, great parking.
Yes, and that should not be taken for granted. So we share a parking lot with DeLille, and we're very fortunate to have this spot. I mean, I think we're in the best spot in Woodinville.
I would definitely agree. So let's chat a little bit about what you feel makes your wine stand apart.
Well, I spent most of my career making wines in varietal form, Syrahs and Cabernets and Merlots and Sauvignon Blancs and Chardonnays. But when I started Brian Carter Cellars, I kind of wanted to do something a little bit different. And I wanted to do something that I thought was fun. And so I looked back on what I'd done in the past, and I said, I really like the blends. I like drinking them. I like the artistic part of making them. And as I asked people in the industry, different restaurateurs and wine shop owners and distributors and wine writers, well, what do you think about if I do a winery that it just focuses on blends? And 201, they thought that it was a great idea, and everybody seemed to get behind it. And it turned out that since I started Brian Carter Cellars, blends have become even more exciting and more of a focus for the business. It's almost like people sort of started out drinking varietal wines, and now they've kind of graduated to another level, and that increased balance and complexity that blends have is really getting them to sign on to the whole blended concept.
Well, and it's amazing how much the wine can really bring out, enhance, or detract from the flavors of food. So with blends, I'm seeing so much of a bigger diversity going on.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned food, because food is so important to me in the winemaking process. When I do my blends, I usually have food there, because I like to kind of wrap my head around what the wine tastes like, not just on its own in a glass, but with food. I often take a sample home after I've done the blend and try it with dinner and and you know, it gives me another chance to kind of think about how the blend is developing. But and my wines tend to be a little bit more European in style and a little bit more fruit friendly. I'm trying to keep the oak in moderation, trying to keep the alcohol in moderation. Everything is in balance, and nothing kind of sticks out that would take over your meal. It's really wonderful wines to go with food.
I love that. One of the other things that I wanted to touch base with you about is how did you get started? I know we touched base, you said that you started out in varietals, but what got you started in wine?
Well, it kind of depends on how far you want to go back, but I was given a microscope as a young person, probably 8 years old, and then I ended up using that microscope to look around in ditches and onion skins and all the things that they tell you to do. But eventually somebody said, well, there's these yeast, and you ought to try looking at that, and you got to start a fermentation. So I went and picked some blackberries and made some wine. Then I looked at the yeast under the microscope, and I thought, I often say I've been looking at those little guys all my life now, and but they've been working hard for me. Then I was getting a degree of all things in microbiology from Oregon State University, and I took a class in wine appreciation because I was interested in wine, and went out and visited winemakers in the Willamette Valley that were starting up the real pioneers in the Oregon industry, like David Lett and Bill Fuller and Chuck Curry and Dickie Rath, and met those guys, and I was instantly just so enthusiastic about the possibility of becoming a winemaker, and I applied to go to UC Davis and went down there and studied winemaking, and kind of the rest is history.
Wow, that's one of the things I've noticed about wine is it has a tendency to romance you in.
Well, it does, and there's a lot of people who get into the business for the romantic aspect, and you know, I must admit it's a fun industry to be in. Many people don't realize, of course, that there is some aspects of it are a little bit less romantic when you're there at 12 o'clock at night after you've been crushing grapes all day and, you know, scrubbing the floors and cleaning out the buckets and the hoses and everything. There's definitely some less romantic aspects to it.
Oh, yeah, there's always that business backside of it.
Yeah, and little did I know, even when I got into it, how diverse the demands of the job would be. Doing everything from, you know, selling wine, obviously very important, but dealing with vendors, barrels, glass, label vendors, having to, you have to be a bit of an electrician, a little bit of a plumber, you have to be a bit of a mechanic, you have to be a good interviewee.
Yes, and you are doing fantastic. So on some a little bit more of a fun side of things, people are always asking about wine tasting. So how do you wine taste?
Well, there's several different aspects to wine tasting, but if you're asking me how would I go about visiting wineries to wine taste, as opposed to my professional, say, blending, because I can sit down and taste for hours when I'm blending one of my blends, and it's obviously a little bit different approach. But I like to taste a lot of wines, and I think whether you're going to, say, Taste Washington, an event like that, or whether you're out in Woodinville visiting a number of wineries, I think it's good to don't try and taste as many wines as you can, because that's really not the objective. The objective is to figure out what wines you like, and so spend a little bit of time with each wine. You know, look at the color, smell the wine, taste the wine. You know, if you get a chance to talk to the winemaker, that's so much better because you can ask him questions about it. And most winemakers, of course, are only too happy to help share their information on how the wine was made. Develop a little bit of a know-how about each wine that you taste, and I think that'll make you appreciate it. Because wine doesn't really exist in a vacuum. It has a place where the grapes were grown. It has a winemaker that's associated with it, and all the thought and effort that he's put into it. And the other thing I would say when you're wine tasting is, again, part of that same theme of not trying to do too much, kind of focus a little bit. If you're going to a particular winery, of course, you can taste through their whole line, and kind of get a feel for what the winemaker is all about. But you know, 3-4 wineries in a day is plenty.
Okay.
There's 100 tasting rooms in Woodinville. Don't try and do 30 of them. Don't think you can go through all the wineries in Woodinville in 3 days. Pace yourself and take your time and think about the wines and enjoy the experience.
That's awesome, because you tied in my next question, which was advice for the new wine drinker, the new wine taster. So that's awesome.
The Pain Center of Bellevue offers real relief to pain and a healthier approach to your life, with services including chiropractic, weight loss, trigger point injections, acupuncture, massage, and rehab. You're sure to find your healthy approach to life. You can find them at www.bellevuepaincenter.com. Tell them Socially Savvy sent you and receive a 30-minute, doctor-supervised trigger point massage and pain management consultation. Call 425-455-2225. Sitting here with Brian Carter, and we're going to chat our very first wine tasting of the show, Abracadabra. I adore the name. I adore the label, which I definitely want you to tell us about the label here in a second. It is your 2013 Rose Wine. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, Rosé, actually. And it is a blend, like the rest of the Brian Carter wines, primarily Sangiovese and Grenache. Got a couple other varieties in there in minor quantities. But it's brand new. It just was released within the week. And it's tasting delicious. Again, when the sun comes out, I used to say, well, it's guaranteed to make the sun come out whenever you open up a bottle. And today I can say that in all honesty.
I would totally agree, and I know some people are less educated with whites. I think a lot of times people just jump into reds because that's what, you know, whoever is introducing them is drinking. But for summertime, this is a beautiful, bright, vibrant wine.
Yeah, and rosés have kind of gone through an evolution. There was kind of what our mothers used to drink, which was kind of a sweeter style rosé. And we get a lot of people in the tasting room still who, you know, come in and say, I don't know, rosé, you know, it's probably too sweet for me. But this is a nice dry style rosé. It just has this little kiss of sweetness to it, which is almost undetectable. And, you know, nice crisp acidity, fantastic. It's a great food wine, just like the rest of my wines. I highly recommend it. You can sit out on your deck and enjoy it all by itself. But what I like it the best is sitting out with some cheeses and fruit. It also is a fantastic wine with salmon.
Wonderful. I love the pairing notes. Thank you so much.
And Abracadabra, we have two different wines that we put the Abracadabra moniker on. We have a red wine in addition to that, which is a bigger, more popular blend that is supposed to be available all year round, but we're actually sold out of it right now. But it's the rosé, comparatively small production. We only make a few hundred cases, actually about 350 cases we made this year. And so it's quite limited. It comes out in May, and it's usually gone by the end of August. So get it while you can.
Come and grab it. Thanks so much.
Pop chips. Thanks to the magic of popping, they found a way to pop all the flavor in while keeping all the fake stuff and at least half the fat of original flavored chips out. They take the finest natural delicious ingredients, add a little bit of heat and pressure, and pop, it's a chip. You can find them at a grocery store near you or online at www.popchips.com.
So let's chat a little bit about your labels. They are fun, creative, very diverse. Tell us about what inspires you with these labels.
Well, first of all, our label designer, I want to give him credit right off the front. His name is Stephen Black, and he's when I first got into Brian Carter Cellars, I had already had some experience with Stephen, and you know, labels are so important. A lot of winemakers will figure, well, you know, it's really all about the wine, but I think that for a couple reasons, it's the first impression that you have when you see a bottle. A lot of times there's a crowded shelf that you're trying to sell the wines off of. And I think the other thing is that you're going to bring that wine home and you're going to put it on your kitchen or your dining room table and you're going to enjoy that wine with food. And it's an artistic statement as part of your dining enjoyment. And you want to have an attractive label. So I went out and found who I thought was the best label designer in Stephen Black. And he travels all over the world and does labels in Spain and California and South America. And we went to him and we said, well, we'd like to have you do our whole line of labels. And they, I told them a little bit about what I was thinking about doing. Our theme is kind of the art of blending, a passion for the art of blending, and we wanted him to show a, you know, an artistic label. I told him I also like color. A lot of labels to me are just black and white, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a level of sophistication, I suppose. But I'm a person, if you come to my house, you'll see I have all these walls in Victorian colors and pretty bright colors. They're not for everybody, but I like color in my life, and I like beautiful flowers, and I like maybe a little bit more colorful clothes even than the average person. So anyway, that was kind of his directive: take him in an artistic direction and bring some color into him. And so he did that to a T. Each of our labels is unique. Each has its own original piece of artwork that Stephen Black did for us. And we've been for each wine, whether it's the Abracadabra Rosé or the Bizance or the Corita or the Opulento, each wine has its own unique label, and we use that year after year for that individual wine.
I love that. Would you say that a label is kind of a subliminal message of what the wine taster is going to enjoy in the wine?
Yeah, definitely. The other piece of the puzzle is that we decided on the name of the wine before he designed the artwork for it. So in the case of, say, our white wine, Oriana, we have a very subliminal message in there. Oriana is an Italian woman's name, and it is we call it the Golden Lady. Or is Latin for golden, so we call it the Golden Lady. And, of course, that's a beautiful golden-colored wine. The label is actually kind of an abstract. It's got kind of golden and different hues of yellow and in there. And it's actually, if you look at it carefully, sometimes you have to have a couple glasses of wine to see it, but there's actually a woman's figure in there that's kind of deconstructed. And so there's different pieces of her that are kind of in the label, and so you can see an eyebrow, you can see a leg, so it's something you should definitely look for.
Kind Bars, a kind, healthy snack brand of all-natural foods made from ingredients you can see and pronounce. Find them at your local grocery store or at www.kindsnacks.com. This message brought to you by Brandon Elkins.
I'm sitting here at Brian Carter Cellars, fantastic tasting room, Mother's Day, a lot of the club members are in here picking up their wine. We literally grabbed a bypasser here. He's been very considerate to sit here and chat with us and tell us a little bit about this wine tasting room experience. Is this your first time here?
Absolutely not. I was just telling Brian, I think I've been a member here now going on about my third year.
Wow.
And this is one of several memberships that I have just here in the area, but by far and away my favorite.
So from like you said, you have a lot of memberships and you obviously appreciate and love wine. What is it about Brian Carter that you think has a unique appeal?
So I think for me, it's the flavors, just the blending style that Brian has. And it's very unique. And even though, again, yes, I love wine. Who doesn't? there's a lot of good wines out there, and I can certainly appreciate a good wine. But I think the difference for me between Brian's wines and some of the others, I never have a bad wine from Brian. I never have a wine that I drink and I go, it's okay. They're always just great wines.
So that's a great tip for people who are trying to come and get a unique wine and they aren't quite sure what they're doing. So that's awesome. And so may I ask who you are and what you do?
My name's Ian and I work for the City of Seattle.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking a moment. It's appreciated.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, while you're here, what is your favorite wine this season?
This season I've got to go with, I can't do one, it's two.
Okay.
The Opulento and the Abracadabra.
texting or waiting for a cab, Uber makes it super easy to get around town with just the tap of an app. From hybrids to UberX to town cars with Uber Black, there's no need to tip and no exchange of cash or card is necessary. And because you're hearing this from Socially Savvy, all you have to do is go to uber.com/go/sociallysavvy14 on your mobile device or computer, and you're good to go with $30 off your first ride. Enjoy getting around town with no stress. And now I have the pleasure here at Brian Carter of sitting with managing partner Mike Stevens. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Sunny out. We're having a good time.
So we were just chatting a little bit about the wine experience. Tell me a little bit about what wine means to you. Obviously, you have a passion for it because you are in business. But tell us a little bit about what it means to you.
Sure. My epiphany, my center moment came when I was in Europe. Fell in love with Italian-style wines. Just to me, it was just as intriguing about the wine was also the food and the culture, family, friends, the social gathering around wine. And so for me, it's just as much about the people as it is the wine. That's where I get off on the whole experience and having a good time and celebrating life's moments, big and small. It's so important, and it's something we don't always take advantage of. So it's great when people are having a good time. That's what we enjoy.
Well, and for me, I've found, Socially Savvy, we talk about everything social. It is such a huge part of being social. Where it's always been very predominant in other cultures, this last probably 20 years, it has really taken off here in the Northwest and then obviously earlier down in California. But it just amazes me how wine by itself can take any social experience and elevate it.
Oh, I agree, and it's a great...
Conversation piece
is a good way to put it, but also it's a memory maker.
Yeah.
You look at this bottle of wine and you remember that special occasion that you had maybe 10, 15 years ago. You were with friends or celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, and so it's kind of that vessel that you captures memories, and that's what's neat about it as well.
So this tasting, we have the pleasure of having Mike Stevens tell us a little about this on-air wine tasting. What are we tasting today?
Well, we're very excited to release our 2010 vintage of our Corrida. This is our Spanish-style red blend. Corrida del Toros is what Hemingway spoke about when he was talking about the running of the bulls in The Sun Also Rises. So our Corrida is kind of that expression for the whole celebration that's very important in Spanish culture. This wine has got a heart and soul of Tempranillo, which is kind of the noble wine of grape, I should say, of Spain. And we're excited about this particular vintage because for the first time we've added Graciano, another Spanish varietal, to the blend. And it just really speaks to me when I taste it about Spanish foods and culture. And I love this wine.
I'm a big Tempranillo fan, so you had me at Tempranillo.
Well, that's great. I love it too, and what I think is even cooler is that Brian was very instrumental in having both Tempranillo, the Graciano, as well as some of the other Iberian varietals that we have in our port-style dessert wine, our Opulento, grown. He worked with a lot of our vineyard partners several years ago to get them to take the risk and plant these varietals, and now we're seeing the fruits of all our labors kind of coming to fruition.
Wow, I love that. And one of the things I find very unique about this, which is probably one of the reasons why I typically like Tempranillos during the summer, because I am a predominantly red wine drinker. If I go on and talk about, I like Viognier too, so kind of contradiction. But for me, one of the things that I notice about this Tempranillo is that it has a very cooling effect on the tongue. For a red wine, I don't typically sense that.
That's interesting. I haven't approached that either. I know the first time I smelled it in the glass, I started salivating.
Yeah,
and I was so hungry.
Juicy.
I was I needed some meats or something to go with it. But I can just imagine this with a great paella, or some wonderful tapas. And, it's definitely a great food wine as well.
Well, and I can tell, like we were talking earlier, about how you and wine and food pairing is such a big, important part, because as we're getting the bottle for this interview, you're like, no, you need to go over and grab. You had me grab some food here. So what is it that I'm tasting with the wine today?
Oh, yeah. We have a special pairing. This is a little duck confit nugget with some chutney and golden raisin and a little micro arugula that's on top. So it's a wonderful pairing, and it really brings out the kind of the Moroccan spices spices and the Moorish tradition of the Spanish blend, too. So I think it's a wonderful pairing.
Awesome. What kinds of foods, you know, more like on the that people would know about every single day, would you think that this wine would be great with?
Well, Corrida has always been my go-to barbecue wine. I love this with a little spice, a little sweetness, braised meats, roasted vegetables, I think are awesome. And, of course, paella will always be a favorite with this wine.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing today.
My pleasure.
With our show now national, we have started putting most of our local events on our Facebook pages. Be sure to check them out for social events throughout the week at LB Duchess and Socially Savvy Eastside Events and Entertainment. We would like to thank today's show sponsors, Bellevue Microsoft Store, Gunnar Nordstrom Gallery, Bellevue Nordstrom Cosmetics, Pop Chips, Kind Bars, Brian Carter Sellers, the Pain Center of Bellevue, Advanced Skin and Body Solutions, Mode Magazine, Uber, Woodinville Wine Country, and Sweet Lounge. Ending tonight's show with our glass of Brian Carter Sellers Corrida, we want to remind you all to subscribe to the Socially Savvy Show to be entered into our drawings for prizes from our savvy sponsors. And don't forget to check us out on RSS Radio, an app available on your smartphone. Make all the events better because you were there, and have a socially savvy week.